Okay, so today's topic is maritime transport. Some of this content is taken from this website, it's a very interesting website. And maritime transport is a big topic. In fact, we are going to have a course, especially devoted to maritime transport. And this is a book about maritime transport, this thick, so it's a big book. It deals with very many topics. This is the outline of the book, so sea transport and the global economy, the organization of the shipping market, and so on. So we are going to cover some of the topic, of course, because this is a very, very big topic, maritime transport. So first of all, what are the market segments? Well, we can distinguish whether we talk about passengers or freight, of course, as usual. Both are relevant. Of course, freight is absolutely important, but also passengers, both for travel, cruise, or river tourism. And another distinction can be made by the shipping distance. So whether it is internal or international cabotage, river transport, or maritime transport. This is relevant. Different distances are covered by different ships with different organizations, different issues, different problems, different goods, and so on. And then, of course, the related topic of ports. So the infrastructure that links the sea with the land, so the ports. And here we can talk about seaports or river ports. We'll discuss next time on Wednesday about ports. Today we'll just cover maritime transport. So what are the main topics that we're going to cover? We're going to talk about, what are the transport volumes? How much is this mode of transport used? What are the main routes or routes? What are the different type of ships that are used? The services that are offered with the ships are organized. And then we'll discuss shipping companies, so the main actors in this mode of transport. And on Wednesday we'll discuss about ports. So let's start with traffic volume. Well, not difficult to imagine, traffic volume is constantly increasing. This is the trend, and this is the volume. So it follows an increasing trend up to 2008, we had the crisis, so we had the trade collapse. So we had a decline, but then it started growing again along the same trend. So another graph that shows how important is this trend. This is trend about exports. So this is the export trend. That means that the exports, the world volume of exports is constantly increasing. And here the crucial word, globalization. Production processes are more and more organized, more and more globalized. So located in different countries to source different inputs and serve different markets. And so a very large exchange of products and inputs, both products and inputs. So globalization, you can see it here, and And you can see here, this is a graph that depicts the GDP growth rates and the export growth rates. And here you can see that the average growth rate that we had at the world level is about 2%, 2.5%. Of course, we had up and downs, but 2% is what we can observe. But the export growth rate, it's higher. It's about 5%. So that means that the growth rate of the export, increased faster than growth. So this is another sign of increasing globalization of production systems. And this graph shows the rate of growth of exports, the one that we saw before, it is the blue line, and the rate of growth of seaborne trade, so transports by maritime shipping, and you see that, well, they follow more or less the same line. Actually, the growth of maritime was higher up to a certain point to the rate, to the growth of export, and then it is lower, it has become lower. But an increasing trend from both of them. So why do we see this increasing volumes of traffic in maritime? What are the main determinants? Well, one I already mentioned is globalization, connected with international division of production and trade liberalization, as we said. The other important factor is the increase in the energy and mineral cargoes. So that means the raw material and the energy sources, so oil and gas, coal, that has moved around the world. With China being an important actor in this demand for energy. A third factor is the technical improvements in ship and maritime terminals. Ships have improved, terminals have improved, they got bigger and bigger. Bigger means larger economies of scale. Larger economies of scale means decreasing costs. So decreasing costs means that goods are easier and cheaper to transport around the world, to ship around the world. Okay. So economies of scale, the fourth factor, and containerization. That's an important term in this world of maritime transport, containerization. So this is a change, we'll discuss this in detail, a technical change that occurred so that the goods are more easily transported, more easily, more safely, and cheaply, more cheaply transported. And so you see the trend. This is the trend from the 70s to 2012. And you see that the trend is increasing. This is ton miles, ship by maritime transportation, constant increase in volumes. This is coal, this is oil, this is grain, bauxite and phosphate, should be here, I think, and other dry cargoes, other goods, probably transported by containers that are transported by sea transport. So sea transport is a very, very successful, a very, very important, very relevant mode of transport for the world economy. Okay, we can easily conclude that. And this is the trend in containers. So containerized cargo flows along major trade routes. Constant increase here too, from 1995 to 2012. Constant increase along which routes or routes? Let's say routes. Along which routes? Let's see. This is Asia, North America. So this is the first, the blues increasing. Increasing, North American, Asia. The direction is important. It's Asia, North America. So goods that go from Asia to North America, and these are goods that go from North America to Asia. Also increasing, but they are smaller. So there are more goods that go from Asia to North America than goods. Containerized goods that go from North America to Asia. So here we say that there is a trade imbalance. And that's a very relevant, a very important topic, very relevant, an imbalance in the trade. And this is Asia, Europe, and Europe, Asia. So I guess this is also increasing very, very, very much. From 2.4 to 13.7. What is this? This is Asia, Europe. So Europe is importing more and more goods from Asia, we know that. And this is the rate of increase. And you see that the size of the relation between Asia and Europe is double, it's twice the size of the relation between Europe and Asia. So here we have also a trade imbalance. Relevant. And this is North America, Europe, and Europe, North America. It's more North America, Europe, but it's more balanced. It's more balanced. Okay. What is this? This is short sea shipping. So this is maritime transport that takes place within shorter distances than the oceanic lines. So this is trade that takes place within Europe. You see this, it's relevant, very relevant, from the Black Sea to the Mediterranean, and within the Mediterranean, Atlantic, North Sea, Baltic Sea. It's also an important aspect, no? It's an important segment of surface shipping. And this depicts the main routes. These are the routes that are followed by the ships. So I would say the main routes are from this one, from North America to Europe, I guess, are more these. This is more the Panama, this is towards the Panama Canal, so it's Asia arriving to North America or Central America, crossing the Panama Canal, and then going to Europe or vice versa. And from Asia to Europe, what are the main routes? This is the main route. So either here or here through the River Nile. And this is the Malacca Strait. Okay. In ancient times, the road used to be this one, so around Africa, but then the Suez Canal was built, so now the ships are able to go through. We'll see that in detail. So these are, again, the main routes of traffic of maritime circulation. The lighter, the blue or white, the higher are the tonnage that is transported along that road. So these are the main routes. So three main types of routes are possible: port to port, pendulum, or around the world. Port to port means that the ship goes from one port to the other, serves one connection only. More or less regular service, often moving back and forth, but it's very likely that the flow of freight is unidirectional, meaning that the return trip is empty. The system has the disadvantage of offering limited connectivity and mainly represents movements of raw materials, notably oil and minerals, between zones of extraction and industrial regions. Okay, so this is a possibility. The other one is pendulum. Pendulum means connecting some ports on a kind of a circular movement of the ship. Container cargoes, this type of route is characterizing container cargoes and involves a regular itinerary between a sequence of ports, often serviced by geographical proximity. A set of ports along one seaboard area serviced, and then an ocean is crossed with the process being repeated along another seaboard. So seaboard, ocean, seaboard, and so on. The term pendulum refers to the shipping service moving back and forth between two maritime ranges. This is notably the case between Western Europe and Eastern seaboard of the United States, or between the Pacific, Asia, and North America. And then there is also the possibility of having, and there are some, round the world routes. Involves servicing continuously a sequence of ports, often in both directions, so that sequence enables a round trip around the world. A limited amount of ports per continent are serviced. This is important. A limited amount of ports, of course, no? In order to make the ship move faster. And another reason is because for this service, usually very big ships are used. This type of maritime routes strictly concerns container shipping and involves a series of transshipment hubs. So, transshipment and containers. And this is one of the first round the world routes, Amax route. Let's see what it says here. 1984 by Evergreen, the Evergreen that, you know, it's located also in Trieste. The route took about 69 days and serviced by about 4,000 TU ships. TEU stands for 20 foot equivalent units. Okay, we haven't discussed that? No, we'll see that. Each port was thus called a port, this is a technical term, a port call twice a week. So that was, every port was touched twice a week. So this is the beginning of the, this is the first round of water route. Okay. Then things develop with the bigger ships. Of course, the companies start this route only when they are sure that they have enough cargo to carry, yeah? Because this is business activity. So they do it if there is a need, so if there is a demand, if there is cargo to be moved on with these characteristics. So the task of every company is to offer a service that is the best for the demand that they have to satisfy. Of course, that depends on the type of goods that they carry. So it can be port to port, pendulum type, so more regular, scheduled basis, or around the world. Yes, these are three main pendulum routes served in 2006, and this is a very relevant idea in maritime transportation. Is the idea, how do I serve all the ports? Because the ports are in the world are very, very many, hundreds of ports. Italy, so only Italy has something like 46 ports. Of course, not all major ones. There are some smaller ones. Okay, but but at least there are how many ports in the Adriatic? Well, we have Rimini. Well, if you start with Bari, let's see it here. On the Adriatic, here is Taranto. You have Rimini. They have Ravenna. Taranto, Bari, Ravenna, Venice, Trieste, and Koper, Rijeka, and then there is another one, small one in Croatia. So there are quite a few. So how do you serve them all? You don't want to bring a ship to all these ports. There are very many ports. So what do you do? In order to minimize the deviation, so to reach every destination, because you might have a container that wants to go to Trieste, or some containers that want to go to Ravenna, or some others that want to go to Genova. So you have a variety of locations that you want to reach, but you don't want your ship to go everywhere, because going everywhere means having many stops. And each stop is complicated, because you have to go there, wait maybe for your turn to touch the port, and then unload, so it's complicated. So the solution that they found in order to serve all the variety of ports, what are the solutions? Well, one solution would be just to unload the containers somewhere and have then the containers go by truck or by rail to the different ports. Different ports or different areas, because when you're in the port, then maybe the container wants to go, I don't know, to Villach or to Innsbruck, and so then you have to carry it on land. So unload it and then let them go inland with railways, with trucks, whatever. Another solution is to organize an hub and spoke system. What is an hub and spoke system? A hub and spoke system is something that looks like this. These are not ports, these are airports. I left this picture because, well, you have the same problem with the airport. Also, with airports, you don't want to serve, to bring the passengers to every destination. So you organize there an hub and spoke system. So what is an hub and spoke system? An hub and spoke system is a system where you have a hub, so one location that is very, very important, and from there, in this case Denver, or Los Angeles, and from there then you serve other locations, in this case in the United States. Okay. In the case of the Mediterranean shipping, you choose one or more hubs, you unload the containers there, and then you ship them back by sea with feeder ships, with smaller ships, they are called feeder ships. You ship them to the other destinations. So, with the current organization, the main hubs used to be Gioia Tauro in Italy, and still is, for the cargo that needs to go to Venice, Trieste, or Liguria. So they stop there, okay? Then they feed the other ports with smaller ships, and they load and unload the containers. So they transship means from one ship to another ship, without going on land. So with the cranes, they ship them from one ship to the other. I don't know exactly how that takes place. So one big one is Gioia Tauro. Another big one, very recent, then there is one in Spain, a very big one is Algeciras, or you pronounce it correctly. Algeciras. How to pronounce it, but this is right here. And a very recent one is Piraeus, in near Athens. And this is how it looks. So when I took this picture, it was the third biggest container port. This is how Piraeus is. So it's a platform on the sea, full of cranes, where Chinese ships, because this is run by the Chinese, it's like run by COSCO, that is one of the largest shipping companies in China, state-owned shipping company. They acquire this piece of land, they manage it, they load and unload, and so they use it as a hub for their organization. Different companies can have different hubs. Usually it is so. Companies have owned their hub. So Gioia Tauro is owned by another organization, another company, Algeciras. Algeciras is, I think, but I'm not sure. Might be run by Banmex. Okay, well. So, why do they do that, and what's the advantage of having an hub and spoke system? Well, the advantages are related to the fact that you can connect the nodes with fewer spokes. So these are four nodes. You choose one to be the hub, the central one. This is good. And then you connect each node with a spoke. So four nodes, you just need three connections. So four nodes, n minus one spokes are needed to connect all nodes. A direct connection system would be this one, when you have a direct connection from each node to each other point. So if you count them, there are n times n minus 1 over 2 divided by 2. So four nodes times 3, that means 12 divided by 2, that means 6. So it should be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So you need twice as many, in this case, twice as many nodes with the direct connection than with the hub. If you have 20 nodes, the difference is enormous, because we have 19 versus 190, right? 20 divided by 2, yeah. So, okay. So, of course, this system of hub and spoke has this advantage of connecting all the nodes. All connections are possible. So, if you a container that arrives here can go net to any destination, okay. So it can serve all, yeah. But not directly through feeder service. So that means that the big ship would arrive here, unload here the containers, and then they will be loaded through feeder ships to all nodes, to all destinations. So the advantages is that you have fewer ships. That's one important. Okay, that's one important flaw. But maybe the most important advantage is that you can have larger ships, larger vehicles. Why? Because you concentrate all the cargo from Asia to Gioia Tauro in one huge, very big ship. Very big ship means less people. In a ship there are about 20-25 persons. So less people, more efficient ships. So economies of scale, decreasing costs. So the costs are reduced. And then the feeder service. The feeder service also, you have a large enough ship, but large enough for the traffic that is required. So you arrive in Gioia Tauro, okay, you have a lot of cargo that goes to Genoa, for example, so you have a larger ship, like you have a 8,000 TEUs ship that goes to Genoa, but maybe you might have a smaller ship because you don't have enough demand there. So you have a smaller ship from Gioia Tauro to Bari. Okay, and maybe a smaller one to Trieste because there are not so many. So you can customize and decide exactly which ships you better use for that location based on the demand that you have. So you have concentrated demand on the main route, and then have a customized ship for the spokes, okay? And so, higher efficiency, lowering costs. Of course, this also adds an advantage that complex operations such as handling, accounting, but also loading and unloading takes place only at the hub and not on all nodes. And one other advantage is that when necessary, a newer node is easy added to the network. You have another port that you want to serve here, just add another spoke, and this spoke is coming. Bear in mind also that this works On the other direction, so it means that you have a cargo that comes from Trieste that wants to go to China. You don't have to organize a ship that goes from Trieste to China. You organize a ship that goes from Trieste to Gioia Tauro, and then from Gioia Tauro, it's loaded on the big ship that goes to China. Okay, so all this works in all directions. You will take advantage of this. Economies of scale in both directions. Well, that works also for airplanes. For airplanes, it's the same. You have the hubs, so the important location in the network. So in Italy, the hubs are for airplanes are Milan, maybe Rome, you know, the main hubs. The airplanes go to the hubs and then go in all directions. So you have all the locations of the many Italian airports that are connected. Or you can have the hub at the European level. So you have the main hubs, Frankfurt, Amsterdam, London, Madrid, maybe Paris for sure, that are hubs within a larger network. All locations are reachable. Smaller planes on the spokes and larger planes from the hubs to other hubs. So these are the advantages. Of course, there are also disadvantages. And the disadvantages is that you are in a network, and the network is not flexible. If you have a problem somewhere in the network, that's going to affect all the network. So if you have a problem at the hub, you are dead. Okay? But also if you have a problem here along this line, then the airplane that needs to go from the hub to the other destination, then they have a problem, no? Because they have to avoid the connection. With the direct system, you have no problem. If you have a problem in one spoke, the rest are absolutely independent. Here they are interdependent. So, not flexible, changes to timetables are complex. Any change that you want to make involves changes in reorganization of the entire network. The hub is the bottleneck at the critical point on the network, and we said that. And of course, travel times are longer. Travel times are longer because it would be easy to go from Minneapolis to Milwaukee, very short. But if you want to go through Denver, then it's much longer times. So that can be a serious problem for passengers. For goods, well, it's also a problem because also goods are time constrained, but not as much as passengers, of course. Some goods can wait, and so so it's less of a problem for goods than okay. Another problem with hubs is that you have to change the vehicle. So for passengers, you have to load and unload the vehicle.
So these are the cons of the hub and spoke system, right? Just not to misunderstand.
Oh, yeah. These are the cons, yeah. So, no. Did I write it correctly? No. These are the pros and these are the cons. So I have to make a change in the slide. Yes, exactly. Thank you. Okay, so type of vessels. As in the other modes of transport, there are many, many different types of vessels. For passengers, for goods, and so let's see them very quickly. Ferry ship, ferries, so relevant for passengers. Short distances, mainly. ocean liners for passengers. They still exist, but of course they don't have the importance that they had before the aviation times. So after the Second World War, these almost disappeared. What is important, remains is important, is are of course cruise ships. So for leisure or for tourism, okay. For freight you have bulk carriers. Bulk carriers are cargo ships used to transport bulk cargos, items such as ore or food staples, rice, grain, etc., and similar cargo. They can be recognized by the large box-like hatches. These on their deck, designed to slide outboard for loading. A bulk carrier could be either dry or wet. So this is how the ship is built. These are these boxes, okay? And so they can be separated, so you can load different cargo, dry or liquid. And if there is dry, you have the problem of loading and unloading, and the ship can be equipped with cranes in order to do that. This is a dry bulk carrier without cranes, so it has only these boxes, these hatches. Why is that so? Gear bulk carrier, okay, geared Panamax vessels, so there's cranes, derricks, or conveyors, group, torre, or transportatori. Okay, combined carriers, so in order to be used for different kinds of goods. This is also important, no? It's important that the ship is flexible, it can be used for many types of things. Gearless, so without carrier, without cranes carrier, without cranes or conveyors. So this, if it is gearless, if there's a crane, it's important that the port has the cranes in order to load and unload. That's not always the case. Some ports, they don't have the infrastructure that is needed for unloading, so that the ship must have them. Self-discharger are barges with conveyor belts, which allow them to discharge their cargo quickly and efficiently. So this self-discharger, and this, you can see, this is used in rivers, in lakes, where the ports are not well equipped with cranes. This is a liquid natural gas ship, so this is a tank. This is very important for natural gas. This is a laker, so this is used on the lakes, and the locks are used in order to keep the right sea depth. And of course, then you have container ships. And this is a big one, container ship, okay. And these are the cranes that are used for the containers. Okay, we are going to see more about that. This is a tugboat. So the boat that are used to tug, to direct to the container ships. Of course, these big ships, they have problems moving in the ports. They don't know the port, or they cannot move in small spaces, so they are tugged usually by these boats. This is a service that the port provides to the big boats. Okay, and this is a story of the 1950s converted tanker, and then And how we went from ships that were loaded with grains to ships that were loaded with containers. Okay, so what's this is the container. So it comes on different sizes, but it's important that these sizes are standardized. Because that you have to fit them together, they have to be of the same size. And so this is the most common one. It's a 20 foot long ISO, no? It's an international standard something, office maybe, container. This is equal to one TEU, so 20 equivalent units, 20 foot equivalent unit. It's just a box that you open and close, might be refrigerated, as you will see. And this box must be strong enough to be to hold all the goods and to be lifted, so that loaded and unloaded on ships and trains. Okay, and this technique was developed in the United States by this guy, Marco McLean, in Newark, New Jersey. It started converting a tanker in a container ship. So it opened up the tanker and said, let's put inside these boxes. And started this whole this technique of using containers. And okay, and now containers are more and more used, as you have seen, no? Because they are a simple enough technique, and it's good both for ships and for trains and trucks. So it becomes a standard used, technique for intermodal, no? Transport, and intermodality. It's very important, no? It's very important because the goods, the ships arrive at the port, and then they have to be as quickly as possible unloaded to other means of transport, either trucks or trains. Huh? And this is a tanker. So tanker, this is oil. So very, very important one. There's been used development also in tankers in order to make them as safe as possible. This is a reefer ship. So reefer means, we've learned that, refrigerated, to carry perishable commodities, commodities that require controlled temperature and so on. So fruit, meat, fish, vegetables, dairy products, and other food stuff. And this is another very important development. Is the roll-on, roll-off ships. This ship is used to load trailers. So either trailers with the tractor or trailers without the tractor. This is very important for Trieste because we receive a lot of trailers from Turkey. So the ship opens up and the trailers are introduced inside the belly of the ship. So another very, very relevant technique. Usually in Trieste, the ships arrive without the truck drivers. The truck drivers fly usually to Ljubljana, then they come here by bus, and they take their tractor, and then they drive to Austria, Germany, if the trailers are not loaded on the rail. So it's a combined. This is a barge, so rivers. This is an ancient barge, a house. Flat, carrying coal, rocks, sand, grain, and so on. And this is a barge that is able also to carry, this is a more modern one, is able to carry also containers. So this is in the northern range ports that are connected to the main rivers. can have also the possibility to ship their goods to inland Europe with container barges. Okay. So very many different purposes. Some of them are very specialized. Some of them are more general or more general cargo. This is also an important decision for companies, not whether to use or to buy or to construct a very specialized or an open ship that is able to maybe to serve many goods and services. Okay. And this is the trend in registered world fleet. So you see, increasing very much, both in number, but especially, not this is the number, this is the total gross tonnage. So you can see here that the average tonnage, that is the yellow line, increased very much. So there are more ships, but they are especially bigger ships, because capacity, economies of scale, reducing cost, very, very relevant. These are how the ships are classified. Maybe this is not all, but this is the main classifications. And the classification come from the straits. Huh? The canals, so the Suez Canal is the maximum size of the ship, length, beam, draft. This is the dead weight tonnage, minimum, maximum. You know? So draft is important. But also the beam is important, so the, how large is the ship, because they have to go through the canals that they might find. So Panama is 12, Suez is 16, Malacca is 20, and so on and so on. And so on. So yes, maybe this is not even complete because there are larger, in fact, there are larger ones, but you see the development of ships over the years getting bigger and bigger. Panama, post-Panamax plus, new Panamax, and so on. And this is another standard use of measurement. How many TEUs, so how many 20 feet equivalent units they can carry? So how many boxes? 500, 3,000, 4,000, 6,000. This is 14,000, up to 14,000. Okay, and yesterday I found this. Video that now I'm going to show you that shows a lot of the things that I just discussed about, and this is the Emma Merckx. So now we switch to movies. So where do I find it?
Rated PG, children may require parental or adult supervision. The biggest ship in the world has big responsibilities. Emma Maersk has only 2 weeks to sail across the globe with a $500 million cargo. She will sail through dangerous seas.
We are also aware of the risk breathing.
While her crew will work overtime to maintain this high-tech marvel.
I prefer actually to do the dangerous part myself.
Whatever it takes, Emma has got to arrive on time, and the clock is ticking. It's one of the busiest ports on the planet, Tanjung Pelepas in Malaysia. It's the loading point for millions of containers a year from Asia, bound for Europe and North America. They carry everything from TVs to t-shirts, frozen fish to footwear, cameras to cosmetics.
Today is a very heavy operation. We have seven vessels on board, and